Revelation chapter 2 tonight, verses 1 and following. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which they are their apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience. And for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted, nevertheless. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen. Repent, do the first works, or else I'll come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. You notice verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I want to talk to you tonight on this topic, the danger of desertion. Thank you. Would you be seated? And we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, the God of the Word. Neither will change, but they can change us. And I pray that will take place tonight. Thank you for our friends that have joined us on this Friday night. Revive the work of your hands in the midst of your years, and we will give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Revelation may be viewed both prophetically and practically. From a prophetic standpoint, when you hear the voice in Revelation chapter 4 come up hither, all the way to the end of chapter 22, it is future events. I believe we're at 11:59 and seconds to midnight. But in Revelation 2 and 3, it's more practical in nature. It deals with seven distinct churches in the Asia Minor. The Apostle John on the island of Patmos receives this revelation. And the first of the seven churches is to Ephesus. The word Ephesus means desirable. A lot of things about the church were desirable. We'll look at them. But one thing was detestable. And it hurt their testimony. Let's start tonight with something good about Ephesus. The Bible tells us, first of all, God's commendation of the church. Look down in verse 2. I know thy works. Some of you I know and some of you I do not know, but there's nobody here tonight God does not know. Psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Do you realize you never had a thought that God did not think with you? He knows everything about you. Well, his assessment was this. I know, first of all, the works, he says, and your labor. Now, the word labor means work to the point of exhaustion. He said, first of all, I want to commend you because you're a diligent church. How many of you understand tonight, work is not a four-letter dirty word. It was God's idea. I don't know if you noticed this, but God gave man work before he gave him a wife. And a man who will not work does not need a wife. In case you have a daughter, you ought to bear that in mind. Because if he won't work, then you don't want to have anything to do with him, young lady, that's for sure. So work is God's idea. Exodus 20 and verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy works. And Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor working with his hands. All churches, every church you go to has laborers, loafers. There are workers and there are shirkers. Which one are you? If God were giving an analysis tonight of Community Baptist Church, would you be commended because you're a diligent person? He goes further and he said, and your patience. Now, the word patience here means endurance. They were not just diligent, but they were disciplined. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it's required, not suggested, but required in stewards of man be found. Anybody know that next word? I heard it twice. Let's all say it together. It's the word faithful. Ready? Faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:51, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You should not get just souped up for a special occasion, but you need to be a steady Eddie, faithfully executing everything that God has given you to be a part of. You ought to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Friday nights in revival meetings, and we're thankful that you are. Whether it's mission conferences, you ought to be faithful serving Jesus Christ. God commends that. And then he said, you cannot bear them which are evil and tried them, tested them, which say they're apostles or not. You found them liars. So they were diligent, they were disciplined, and they were discerning. They knew the difference between an apostle and an apostate, between truth and error. Centuries ago, Jesus said what I want to quote him again tonight is saying, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets. Be very careful when you are listening to someone preach. that you understand what they're saying. Are they telling the truth? Are they teaching error? The guy may be on television and have a massive following, but if his word does not match God's word, you turn him off and let God be true and every man a liar. So far, so good. We might call Ephesus an independent, fundamental, Bible-preaching Baptist church that God was approving of, at least in the first couple of verses. But you go to verse 4 and things change. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." The word "against" means you have upset me. I'm opposed to what you're doing. He even explains, because you left. Now, that word, L-E-F-T, is a key word in this whole passage. Many times you'll hear people say there's a lot of people who've lost their first love. Did you know that's not taught in the Bible? It's taught in many churches, but it's not taught in the Bible. And I'm not trying to be cute, but L-E-F-T and L-O-S-T are two completely different words. The word "left" means to abandon, to desert, to walk away from, to loosen the intensity. That's where I got the title of my message, "The Danger of Desertion." You've left your first. Now, when something's first, everything else is second. You've left your first love. Now, in the Bible, love is sacrifice. So what he's saying is this: the intimate relationship you used to have with me, said Jesus, you don't have anymore. You're functioning, but your fervency is gone. You're showing up, but you're not really giving me honor and glory because you've abandoned your first love. Now, let's say something tonight that all of us understand. God loves you. I understand most everybody here tonight is a part of this ministry or a part of people who are a part of this ministry. We really don't have guests here tonight as far as potential people who are probably in need of Jesus. But everybody needs to understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Let me pause there for just a minute. The word "world" is not elect of every nation. It is the world, cosmos, mankind. Jesus Christ did not die for a handful of people. He died for every sinner, past, present, and future. And I want you to know tonight that God loves you. The question is, do you love God? And that's the issue of this passage of Scripture. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself the question, how important is it to love God? 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is love. Out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. In 1 Corinthians 13, we call it the love chapter. You know that the word charity and love are synonyms. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have all faith that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, in other words, I give totally till I don't have any money left, and give my body be burned, I die as a martyr and have not love. See if you can finish this. It profits me. You know, those first three verses basically say this: life minus love is nothing. Wow. Singing solos minus love, nothing. Singing the choir minus love, nothing. Taking care of the nursery minus love, nothing. Pastoring for many years minus love, nothing. Evangelism many years minus love, nothing. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, where does this love come from? 2 Peter 1:5, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Faith is foundational to Christian living. By the way, you get saved by faith. Just in case you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. When you come to God, you must understand by faith that you're a sinner. And the word "sin" means to miss the mark. On your best day, on your best behavior, you're not as good as God. You take by faith a real place called hell, though you've never seen it. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell in every nation that knows not God. Though you have never seen Jesus, nor the cross, nor the tomb, once again you take by faith that Jesus, as God, who is God, took on man. He became a human being. Not half God and half man, all God and all man. And he lived a sinless life and died on a cross and shed his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. They took him off that cross, dead, put him in a tomb, but thank God, 3 days and nights later, he didn't remain in the tomb, but he arose from the dead. And since He is alive, He's the only one that can make you alive. So if you'll say no to your sin and not trust anything you've ever done and yes to God's Son and receive Him by faith, you will be born again, born into the family of God. Then He says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and at the apex love. So I would like to ask tonight, as we start our few days together, do you have first love Christianity? Do you have first love Christianity? God confronted me with that in my studies as I got this message some time ago in the state of Indiana. I was in a meeting by myself. I had studied out what I had just given you. And I began to pace the floor and I said, how would a person know if they left or abandoned first love Christianity? What you're about to hear are the questions God began to put on my heart, and I put it in the form of a message. Number one, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'll be a coolness towards the Savior. He doesn't say you don't love me at all. These people didn't hate God. They just didn't have first love Christianity. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Jesus changed that with one word in Matthew 22, 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So first love Christianity is a concentrated love. How often do you think about the one you say you love? Do you focus on Him? Do you concentrate on Him? It's a consecrated love. You love Him with your heart, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and nothing and no one comes between you and Jesus Christ. It's a communicated love. You tell people about the love that you have for Jesus. In that hotel room when I was studying, I was reminded of Mary and Martha, and Jesus came to their home. When Mary went to open the door, she knelt at His feet to hear His words. That's worship. Meanwhile, Martha's back getting supper ready. That's work. And Jesus said of Mary, she has chosen the best part, which means worship must be better than work. And you'll never really work right until you worship right. And then He made a statement because Martha said, can't you get my sister to help me? And Jesus said that Martha was cumbered with serving. Have you ever gotten under conviction just studying? I'm sitting looking up the word cumbered. It means distracted, turned aside. And boy, did I get under conviction. I was traveling nationally and internationally, writing materials, working on boards, preaching in conferences. But it was like the Holy Spirit whispered me, yeah, you're doing all this for me. Now, when are you going to take time to be with me? In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, He ordained 12 that they might be with Him. Notice the order. And He might send them forth to preach with Him, for Him. And you'll never be much for Him until you're much with Him. And only you can answer this on this Friday night, because I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here telling you what God did for me. If you're sitting here and there was a time you loved Jesus more than tonight, if there's a time you used to focus on Him, sing to Him, care about Him, love Him more than you do tonight, it's time to return to first love Christianity. Not only there'll be a coolness towards the Savior, second, there'll be a callousness about sin. Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Isn't that interesting? Two sides, same coin. I used to work on a farm when I was growing up, and the old farmers used to say, you cannot love crops and weeds at the same time. You can't love Jesus and sin at the same time. In Psalm 101 and verse 3, the Bible speaks, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I have no idea what's in your automobile. I have no idea what you watch on television. But some years ago, I put a message together. It was entitled, The Media is Massacring Your Mind. My son is a preacher. My son-in-law who's a preacher helped me put it together. And we were all shocked. We thought we knew what was in the media. Not even close. Many of the things that we researched, I couldn't even mention in public venues. For instance, a couple of years ago, of the top 10 songs on the charts, three of them used the F word in the title. Seven others I could not describe and read for fear of offending God and embarrassing you. What do you listen to? What do you watch? I wonder if pornography, or at least risque movies, has become a part of your diet. I wonder if you're allowing profanity to come into your home. You know, the thing that I have to appreciate so much about the man by the name of Joseph is in Genesis 39, when Mrs. Potiphar came to entice him, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He didn't have a Bible in that day. The Holy Spirit did not live inside of him as he does inside of us. But he had a conscience that was very, very close to the heart of God. And he didn't want to do anything to demonstrate any lack of love. Third, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'd be a contentedness with self. I'll tell you what you'll find when you don't have first love Christianity. You can sit in services and not get into much conviction. You can hear the preaching of the Word of God and say, "I wonder who he's speaking to." But when you really are growing in grace and getting closer and closer to Jesus and loving him more and more, you're going to find the closer you get to Jesus, the less you'll think of yourself. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 9, Paul hadn't been saved too long, and he said, "I'm the least of all the apostles." It wasn't long in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, "I'm less than least than all the saints." And not too long before he died, the man that we would revere as a key Christian of his day said in 1 Timothy 1:15, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." Interesting. The closer to the light, less he thought of himself. I wonder if you're a better Christian than Job. God said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Same was a perfect man and eschewed evil. Wow, what a testimony. Satan is allowed to touch his life. He loses his farm and his friends and most of his family, and his flesh is touched, but he never curses God, but he cursed his day. After God had a conference with him in chapter 42, he said, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." Are you a better Christian than Isaiah? When he really got a glimpse of God and really understood who indeed he was serving, he said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King." How long has it been since you were under conviction? Can you remember the last time you sat in a service when the Word of God was being preached and you thought, "I wish he'd just close the service and give the invitation enough"? Can you remember the last time a tear came down your cheek because you knew you had offended God that you say you love? Fourth, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'd be a carelessness about souls. You know, it's interesting. When you love Jesus, it will come out your mouth. When you really love Jesus, you will tell other people about him. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, Paul said, "I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Boy, if I understand that, he was in essence saying, "I believe I'd be willing to go to hell so some of my Jewish brethren could go to heaven." He was a far better Christian than I'll ever be. I preach too often on hell. I don't want to go to hell for anybody. But Paul said, "I believe I'd go there so some of my friends could go to heaven." Wow. Romans 10:1, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved." If I went out to your family tonight, I said, "Sir, would you stand representing your family? Would you mind telling me who you and your wife and young people, the children in your family, have been praying for? And it's your heart's desire and prayer to God that they might be saved even this weekend because you're trying to get them here." Do you have anybody like that? I used to go around the country preaching. One of the reasons a lot of people don't win souls is because they don't love the lost. But I'm having to rephrase that. The number one reason people don't share their faith and go after the lost is because they don't love the Lord. Say, "Preacher, that's strong. See if you can finish this." Jesus said in John chapter 14, "If you love me, keep my..." last verbal commandment out of the mouth of Jesus Christ was Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You say, well, preacher, I might offend them. Is it really your concern that you're going to offend them or that they're going to get upset with you? Are you more concerned about your reputation or their soul? You're saying, preacher, I'm just getting too old. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight who's 103 and can raise your hand high enough that we can see it. I preach in meetings in Ohio. The man last I heard is still living. The last time I saw him, he was 100. Businessman. Witness to everybody. I said to the pastor, I'm missing brother so-and-so. Where is he? I said, is he still living? Oh, yes, he's still living. I said, well, is he ill? He said, no, he's not ill. I said, well, where is he? He said, well, he checked himself into an assisted living home. I said, well, why did he do that if he doesn't need help? He said, he told me as his pastor, I'm going to that assisted living home, and that's going to be my mission field till God takes me home. I said, well, how's he doing? And he said, he called me the other day, and he said he just led his seventh person to Jesus Christ in an assisted. This is a good place for an amen, people. An assisted living home. Because you never get too old to tell somebody how much you love Jesus. Finally, you can tell if you've left your first love because there'll be a competitiveness among saints. You know, it's interesting. Perfect peace have laid that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. When you're really in love with Jesus, boy, criticism is just like water off a duck's back. But man, I'm telling you what, when you start leaving first love, and you abandon, the least little thing can upset you. I hope you don't have any of these problems here at the Community Baptist Church, but I've been in evangelism a long time, and my father was a pastor, my grandfather was a circuit riding preacher, and I've seen all kinds of things. Do you know people actually get upset because of what is served or not served at church, dinners, and socials? I'm serious, it's a bad heart attack. One little lady gets on the phone, turkey, turkey, turkey. Why can't we have ham, the other white meat? Why is it always turkey, turkey, turkey? You say, you're kidding me. I wish I was. You say, well, preacher, they kind of do that here. Do you have any suggestions? Sure, you go to the church social, you eat turkey. You go home and have a ham sandwich and hush. That's my suggestion. It's really not rocket science. It's not the big deal about what you have. It's the big deal about an attitude you have about the people that are around you. And sometimes people who are in here keep people who are out there from coming in here because they hear criticisms. I was sitting in a restaurant with a pastor friend of mine. My wife and I were eating with he and his wife. Pastor and I were talking about things of God. A man got up and he walked over and he put his hand on the table. Now, you don't think other people are listening, but they are. And he said, can I ask you men something? Are you preachers? I said, yes, we are. He said, well, I heard you talking about Jesus. He said, I just buried my uncle. My father is not long for this world. Can you men tell me how to get ready to die? Boy, am I glad that we weren't having minced preacher criticizing, discussing, berating. Because he would have heard that. John 13:35, but this shall all men know you my disciples because you have love one for another. So we've seen tonight his commendation, his condemnation. Now let me show you the correction and we'll go home. He says in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent, do the first works. Boy, how simple is this? If you're sitting here tonight and God had just spoke to your heart, here's what he wants you to do. Remember. Walk across the stage of your mind what first love Christianity looked like when it was dominant in your life. Walk across your mind when you remember all the good things that God has done for you. Can you go back to the time and place you were saved? If you can't, maybe you need to get saved. Can you remember what happened after that everything was just brand spanking new and you were thumbing through your Bible and where is that? And now maybe it's just become commonplace.
I don't ever forget what Jesus did for me. My father was a pastor. Unfortunately, I was a prodigal. I don't say a whole lot about my past because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this, had it not been for the mercy of God, the man preaching to you tonight would probably either be dead or in jail. There's an old gospel song I still like to hear. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Lord, remember I'm human and tend to forget. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. You want a challenge? Find a private place at your house. Make sure nobody disturbs you. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the crucifixion story of Jesus Christ in four Gospels. Read it out loud, and as you read a phrase, stop and say, "For me." Read another phrase and stop and say, "For me." For if you'd been the only sinner that ever lived, Jesus would have still done that for you. And the old song says, when Jesus was on the cross, you were on His mind. How long has it been since you just remembered how good God is to you? Then He says, repent. The word repent means to change your mind. A lot of times we preach repentance for salvation, and it is a part of genuine salvation. But it's interesting, if you went to Revelation 2 and 3, you'd find of the seven churches to five of the churches, Jesus said, repent. So what does that mean? Well, if God showed you tonight that you just don't really love Him like you used to, change your mind. If God showed you tonight that you don't witness like you used to or like you ought to, change your mind. If God showed you tonight that some criticism with other people, change your mind. If He's shown you how that you just come in and sit and soak, but you don't really love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not active and excited, change your mind. Only God can change your life. But He won't change your life until you change your mind. Is there anything you need to repent of tonight? And then He said, repeat. Do the first works. Go back to what it was like shortly after you got saved. One of the things I love to do is be around brand new converts, people that hadn't been saved too long, and there's some new converts, Pastor, you just don't want to introduce to older folks in the faith. Because it's almost like they got over it, and you don't want these young converts to do that. I led a barber to Jesus Christ when I lived in Kansas City. My pastor said to me at that time, he said, go see Ted, he'll give you a good haircut. I've been witnessing to him. How about you witnessing to him? And I did. Ted always got in at 6:45. The barbershop opened 7, so I'd always be there about 6:40, and I was the first one in the chair. Usually I had somewhere between 10 and 12 minutes to give him the gospel. And one day I said, Ted, I'm running a revival meeting over at Tri-City Baptist Church in Blue Springs, Missouri, Independence, Missouri. Would you come be my guest? He said, I'll be there Sunday. I spotted him. He sat way at the back towards the door. And I asked him later, I said, why did you sit so far? He said, I decided if there's something I didn't like, I was going to get up and run. But he came. And he didn't run out. He came forward and got saved. Well, boy, I'm telling you what, when he got it from the top of his head to the bottom of his shoes. Three services a week wasn't enough for him. He got into a Bible study that met on a Monday night. He has gone all the way through the entire 66 books of the Bible. Shortly after he got saved, he got a brand new Bible and he started reading. A few weeks later, I went to get a haircut. It snowed the day before. And when I got in the chair, Ted said to me, Doc, yep. He said, you know what I did yesterday? He said, I only had one customer. He said, I read my Bible all day long. He said, I've already read. Now, you've only been saved just a few weeks. He said, I've already read Matthew, Mark, and most of Luke. And I'm going, wow, this guy is hungry. He said, yeah, but I got to ask you a question after reading Matthew, Mark, and most of Luke. Does God repeat Himself? And for some of you looking at me like a calf in the new gates, you hadn't read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I said, no, Ted, those are called synoptic gospels. And the four gospel writers were given the perspective that God wanted them to have so they could write it so we could read all four and we could understand putting it all together what Jesus was like on planet Earth. And he got so excited. He quit cutting my hair and he came to the front and he went, isn't that great? Went back cutting my hair. I had tears rolling down my cheeks and I thought to myself, wow, I've been saved for years. I taught him one little truth. And he was off the charts excited. Does anything excite you anymore? Betty, thank you for singing The Way of the Cross tonight. That excites me. Thank you, choir, for doing that. The only claim to fame I'm going to have ever in eternity is I came by the way of the cross. Remember, repent, repeat. You're not here by accident tonight. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Thank you for waging war on the traffic, and thank you for coming now. Only you can answer this. Do you have first love Christianity? Do you want first love Christianity? Then you need to remember. You need to repent and change your mind. And then you need to go back to what it was, however long ago it was. I can't tell you what you're going to do tonight. I can only tell you what I did. In that hotel room, I was so under conviction, I knelt down by the bed, but I couldn't pray. And so I laid down on the floor. And I said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I cannot get any lower than this." And I named to Him the areas where I didn't have first love Christianity. And I'm glad to announce tonight something that everybody ought to rejoice in. There's mercy with the Lord. And the only sin God cannot forgive you of is the one you will not confess. Do you have first love Christianity? Do you want first love Christianity?